Hi, my name is Jasmine Bedir, and I believe that we need more nuance in the conversation around gender equality.
Yeah. No, we'll imagine this is vodka, and I'm drinking vodka straight.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, cheers.
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 Cheers. Salud.
Salud. Uh-huh. Happy birthday and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Total pleasure.
Oh wow.
It's good.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It's not your standard.
No. Wow. That is amazing.
It's proper tequila.
Super smooth, and I just downed the whole thing, just so you know.
No, that's
okay. Yeah.
This is not my first one. That's why I was like, I'm gonna pace myself.
Yeah. Feeling good?
Here we go, man.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for having me.
Right. No, it's a pleasure. As I was saying before, like, we usually start with two questions.
Yeah.
For the audience who's watching and listening, like,
yeah.
You know, who is Jasmine and what do you do for a living?
Who's Jasmine? Okay. I am a middle-aged woman turning 46 today.
Nice,
right? So I'm owning that. What am I? This is funny. So I'm sort of German, but I'm also not German. I've grown up in Germany, so I've got, the only passport that I have is a German one.
Yeah.
And I've lived in Australia now for 15 years, but I'm also, you know, when you meet me, I don't look like a typical German woman because I'm not. So my father is Turkish.
Yeah, right.
And I've grown up in sort of like a migrant household. Uh-huh. And that's kind of shaped my worldview, and I've spent a lot of time in Turkey. So I'm kind of like a migrant, and then now I'm a double migrant because then I've also moved to Australia.
To Australia. Right?
Kind double
of like,
whammy.
It's like a double whammy. So now I've been here for 15 years, and I'm like, who am I? I think I really love what I do. So I'm an ad lady. So I'm in advertising. I run an advertising agency.
Yeah.
So that's like kind of my day job.
Yeah.
I have got family, kids, dogs, German sausage dog.
Nice.
Play a lot of sport. And sort of what I do like doing on top of just like running a business is also I've created a social enterprise called Fuck the Cupcakes.
Sorry, fuck the Cupcakes.
You know,
you can swear. Like, that's all right.
So like, I just, you know.
You can swear in German, Spanish.
Okay, in all languages.
Fuck the Cupcakes. I think you have to embrace as well the fuck part in it.
Oh, 100%. That's also how it started, right? Because you're like, fuck it. Like, couldn't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question in terms of sort of who I am and what I do?
It does. And actually, you know, talking about fuck the cupcakes, you know, I kind of loved saying that. Tell us a little bit about that journey, like, you know.
How it started.
Yeah.
How it's going.
Yeah, I mean, and
where is it going?
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, as you can imagine, you know, when someone says fuck the cupcakes, it was born out of a moment of rage, basically. And that rage was sort of like performative marketing and HR theatrics that we're really, really good at doing in this industry or in this country.
Mm.
So Fuck the Cupcakes focuses on diversity, equality, and inclusion.
Right.
It started in the comms industry, and it basically started just before International Women's Day a couple of years ago when I was so over it. Mm. I was so over the whole...
There's always a trigger point.
There's always a trigger point.
Yeah, and that was it for you.
It was it for me, and also it was the first time where I actually could actually do something. So I'd taken over the agency or my current job as CEO of an ocean, and beforehand I wasn't able to do anything about the things that I've been witnessing for the past 15 years in Australia, or even before that in Germany, but more so in Australia.
Did you work in advertising as well in Germany?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've got a pretty good holistic perspective on what's what. Australia is pretty bad.
Okay.
So the levels of toxicity that I've seen in this country are pretty appalling, but couldn't do anything. You know when you're like, you arrive in the country, you're no sponsorship?
Yeah.
You know,
you probably can't really speak,
you can't do it. And you know, that's usually what happens to people.
Yeah.
If you're not in a position of privilege, you can't do anything about it.
Unfortunately, that's the reality.
You don't have a voice. Yeah. And we shouldn't be judging people for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes, and I used to do that too, I just know, why don't you do anything about it, right? You always need to think about what's the risk level for the person.
Yeah.
You know, why do they not speak up? But I've seen a lot of shit. So
yeah, that's especially, especially I think in that situation, because, you know, I've actually met friends who are in that situation, right? Like where they're kind of trapped to this visa and then, you know, they feel like powerless almost.
But even after, so now I have permanent residency and even then I still couldn't do anything because I wouldn't have had a career.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like if you go against the system, you got to be really careful or you will be unemployed. I'm already a foreigner. So I already don't have the connections. I haven't gone to school here. I haven't gone to a private school.
Yeah.
I haven't got all of these things that you that I kind of need to succeed in business, if that makes sense. So you got to be really careful what you're doing. And I think a lot of people are going through that.
I think we can relate to that personally.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. So we've said this many, many times before during the episodes from Mexico and Ale from Venezuela. Mm. And though Alice studied here, you started from the bottom.
Yeah, right? Pretty
and then
much.
I didn't study here, so I didn't even have those friends from uni, you know?
Yeah.
Or you didn't have a network. Connections.
Not at all.
There's no one there looking out for you or connecting you, right?
Yeah. No, not at all.
And I'm not playing the victim here or anything, but it is
it's a reality. It's a reality.
For anyone who comes from overseas, you know, just start from that and no connections, no network.
And also, so you know, in Germany, I have a Turkish name. In Australia, I was the lady from Germany, you know, with a cute German accent.
Yeah.
You know, Turkish accent, not good. German accent, very cute.
Yeah.
You know, sort of, you know, I used that,
yeah.
which doesn't always make me feel particularly good about it, but it gave me the opportunity to have a clean slate.
To survive.
Because to kind of make it through because no one was... You know, because they didn't know the suburb that I've grown up in.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
So they couldn't judge me for it, right? That it wasn't total poverty and like housing commission sort of, you know, public housing stuff. No one knew that here. So they were like, oh, she's from Germany. It's like, sounds kind of cool. You know,
You can use that in your advantage. Yeah, actually, you're
I could not. And I'm fairly, you know, light-skinned. I don't have, I have to say this, I don't have particularly sort of, you know, features that make me look incredibly Middle Eastern, although I do... have that. I don't present as a tall, blonde German woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But typical, I used it in my advantage.
Yeah.
Because I had to.
Yeah.
How, I'm always curious about this. I heard this once that advertising was, or maybe it still is, a billionaire's boys club.
Yeah, of course it is. It's like anything, like, is there still, it's like, if you look at the top, it still is. It's like, if you look at where people are coming from, I give you a very candid example. So I arrived in Australia in agencies and it's like every person sort of working and sort of even middle management, like sort of like account director level, credit level, they all like had a father in marketing somewhere, Eastern Seaboard, you know, and the women are all kind of looking a certain way and they're all carrying really expensive handbags and I was like, how do I afford that? You know, how do I? So it's kind of like, oh, it's the same people that are hiring the same people that are creating the same narratives. It's just a self-perpetuating sort of thing. But 100%, it's like wealthy people putting people in other positions of power.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, when was this? Like, when was your...
It's still happening.
And that's, I guess, where I was going to. Like, has that changed at all? Because I feel like the narrative's kind of going towards a little bit more inclusivity, but like, is that actually being applied?
So inclusivity is, there's two things, right? So if you look at the people that are coming into the industry, and there are studies out there that the Ad Council has done, I'm part of their diversity and inclusion committee. You look at it and you look at who's coming in. Yep, gotten a little bit more diverse because the industry has tried to get people in. But the problem is not the representation, the problem is the experience that the people have. Because if they are the only ones in the room, and privilege is a big one, right? If it's a person of color, an intersectional minority, like sort of different religious background or sexuality or even like a disability, these people are then sort of the only ones in the room and they are having a worse experience than anyone else. So as a woman, you have a worse experience. They just have a different experience because they're not the norm. And even if you bring them in, but you then don't give them a great experience, these people tend to leave. So that means if you look at the top, who's left over, it tends to be the same
old
white sort of. There is shades of color appearing, but these people also usually come from privilege. The same way if you look at what's happening in the UK with, you know, the prime minister is going to be an Indian person. I think he's Indian, Asian, definitely Southeast Asian, and he's a billionaire, right? So do you mean that the privilege is the nominator here, yeah. Right? So, yeah. You know, if he was poor, I wonder whether he would have made it there.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
So that's a really big one for me.
And that, I think, it's what's the biggest challenge as well, because it's a perspective, right? At the end of the day, like, that's where it starts. It's hard to step in somebody else's shoes if you, you know, if you're coming from a position where, you know, I'm gonna say you're privileged, but beyond that, like, it's really hard to empathize and, like, think like somebody else, you know?
You haven't got the same lived experience.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And also think about it in advertising or in the communications industry, no matter whether we work in digital, we're maybe the exception of tech. It's not particularly well paid, right? So design or anything like that is not well paid. So if you're coming from privilege and you've got a little bit of money coming down the lines from your family, it's easier to work in these industries than someone that actually needs to earn a living.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like we're not really setting us up for inclusivity to begin with.
That's a massive problem. Well, I'm coming from outside Australia. How do you apply those views and those experiences onto running the notion?
Yeah. Just in general. So I can only be me. Right. I've always just decided that I'm just me, and I just have to be all authentically me. That's okay. That's the word. Three foreigners here trying to solve a word, right? So I have to kind of, I can only be me, and I try to do this with a lot of empathy, to pretty much just try to show people as much as possible that their view of the world is a very privileged one and not the only one. But I apply this to mental health, privilege, and sort of like diversity inclusion in general. So we've got general empathy to what other people are going through, because I think that's the only way otherwise.
I don't know what it was like here in Australia when hiring someone, but in Mexico, when I applied for jobs back in 2006, 2007, it was a norm to send your CV with a photo of you attached.
Same in Germany.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a, you know, Latin American thing.
No, it was the same in Germany. And you go to your photo shoot when you do that shot. You remember that?
My wife, when she moved to Mexico for a couple of years, and then she started applying for jobs.
Yeah.
And then that was a requirement, send a photo. And she was like, what the fuck? Well, she doesn't read this word, but she's like, what the fuck is this? Like, what do you mean I have to send a photo attached to my CV? And I was like, it didn't register with me, because it's always been the norm, you know?
Yeah.
But now I look at it in retrospective, and I was like, that is, like, fucked up.
It is pretty intrusive, in a way, that they're judging you, by that.
They wouldn't hire. I worked at this at the marketing department for a supermarket, and they wouldn't hire you if you had long hair. You have to shave. You have to be clean shaved all the time. No tattoos.
Sounds like military.
Yeah, no tattoos at all. My school, you have to follow, you know, uniform, of course, but, like, no long hair, no piercings, nothing. And this is, like, we're 17 years old. Obviously, you want to, you know, maybe get a piercing here and there. And it's, like, not allowed. And that will carry the whole way through until, you know,
it's
professional world.
That's interesting, because you were mentioning as well, like, Australia in comparison to Europe, like, it's, you know, behind. But when I think about some of our countries, right, like the difference in comparison to Australia already, it's even bigger. I don't think this conversation is happening in any way or form in a professional environment in Venezuela or Mexico.
No, absolutely not, right? And I mentioned the risk that you would need to take to have that conversation.
Oh, yeah, like you'd be putting the rest of your career 100% on the line.
But, you know, I feel like kind of, you know, sometimes people are using that as a sort of like a defense, as in like, but you, where you come from, it was like way worse, right? I don't think that sort of absolves us as of the responsibility to do better here, right? I mean, you know, while we're doing this, you know, we have a First Nations person speaking about her experience. You know, if you look at our track record in this country, it's not particularly great.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, I come from Germany with a horrible, horrible history. It's like completely turned the country around into something really sort of inclusive and egalitarian. I'm not saying it's perfect, right? But I come from that perspective, but it's kind of, I think collectively, in particular with the power that we have in this industry to influence popular culture. So I think we feel like, you know, we are the ones, at least this is what I see in all of businesses always, like, you know, in their credential decks, we managed to influence this decision, you know, we are changing this and that, and we're so good at that and influencing things. Imagine what we could do if we actually applied that to topics like racism or like diversity and inclusion, right? Imagine what we could do. So I see it as, you know, not from the cup is half empty, but more like, imagine what we could do.
Yeah, imagine what the opportunity is. Yeah.
No, that's... Sorry, man.
You go. You go. We always do this. Yeah.
I just feel like all the stories are so well aligned, you know?
Yeah.
And it keeps bringing me back memories of, you know, coming to Australia and doing
Wasn't
all
that terrifying?
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough. Mm. Well, not luck because my parents worked really hard, but I went to private school in Mexico, and that's the only way you can access English. You know,
otherwise, you would have had no chance.
No, so at least I had I had the basic, you know, starting kid, which is English, coming to Australia. And then on top of that, my wife's family, she lives here, they're from here. So, you know, I wasn't starting from a hostel or somewhere else. But even then, once I was on my own, you know, looking for jobs, applying for unpaid internships even, you know, maybe my work wasn't up to scratch, but it's just knocking on the doors.
Until somebody said,
okay, come in, but we're not going to pay you.
I hear this from South American women all the time in our industry. So if you have a German name on a CV, sounds really efficient. And so, you know, those might interview her,
stereotypical,
right?
Like,
so all
German.
Of a sudden, language isn't that important. My my English was so shit when I came into the country. I had no idea what I was. It was actually good sort of overall, right? So in Germany, you speak decent English.
You will get by.
But still, in business, I'm like, I don't know what anyone's talking about. But that's okay. But if you were Brazilian or anything like that, all of a sudden, you know, that's
not
like...
Not efficient.
No. You know, all of that connotations. That I couldn't do my job as well either. Didn't matter because, you know, it sounds kind of cool to have a German there.
Yeah.
That's the bias that we're dealing with. And I'm very, very consciously aware of that because of my background.
It just registering me, I don't think about that, but you're right. I think there's a certain connotation that comes with, you know, where you're from.
Yeah.
Regardless of your experience and everything.
100%.
But before, it's like, you know, it's so easy to judge someone.
Isn't it just
like the way they look, the way they, where they're from.
But you know what? I'm not saying that I'm perfect either because I've been conditioned that way. I do the same things.
Yeah.
I do the same thing. I was like, German probably really efficient and punctual, and then look at someone else and immediately that's what we what we're doing with language and communication. Do you know what I mean? We work in this industry. Amazing what we could do.
Do you think that the power comes from the fact that you know we are voices in a way for a lot of
and we
lot of things?
Make stuff like this, right? We make content that all contributes to popular culture and advertising campaigns, and we influence what's on TV. Like if you think about it,
it is powerful.
It's super powerful.
And right now, I mean, like, we're in the conference right now, and they're like, I feel like, and in a previous conference as well, the topic of, again, like, being aware and kind of trying to change that narrative, be more inclusive, keeps happening. Where do you think we're headed? Like, what do you think it's next?
It's grassroots. So at the moment, it's at the grassroots level, and it will take, social change takes a lot of time, I reckon. I think it is happening, but there's another sort of counter movement, which is like this whole conservative going back to how it used to be, which is puts us in a little bit of a dichotomy, right? So it's like I've got high hopes that younger generations coming in now, they're well more in tune with sort of progressive values and want this make this place a better place. So I think I've got a lot of hope, but I think it's going to take a really, 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 really long
time. We're just getting started. Amazing. Is there anything else you want to share before we wrap it up? Anything you want to leave the audience with?
You know, what I usually talk about is I focus a lot on gender equality because of the fact that I'm a woman, right? Like, aside from the fact that there's also other intersectionalities. What I try to do is get men engaged, and that's really hard because at the moment it's a really difficult time to be a man, sort of, you know, like understanding what we want from them, right? Because in particular, as Australian white men, they've been told for generations they need to be stoic and hard and strong and And now all we're asking them to do is literally the opposite. Mm. And that makes it really, really complicated. So
it's a massive change, isn't it?
It's a massive change. Yeah. And what I'm trying to do is just get more men, so men that are sort of the movable middle, like, you know, younger audience, to kind of understand that they actually have the possibility to accelerate that and change that. And so that will always just go like, you know, if you are able to have a conversation with a woman about it, and maybe another man about sort of like gender identity and how you feel about being a man at the moment, just do it. Just talk about it more. Let's just all just talk about it more. Have nuanced conversations like we just did.
Yeah. Amazing.
Because you can unpack so much more than it's on the surface.
Amazing. Well, thank you very much.
That was incredible. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And that's okay. We'll have a drink for you. Thanks so much. I think it's a wrap, and we look forward to your keynote tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Amazing.
Is that good?
Yeah, that was incredible.